story of the feeding of the 5,000 is found in all four Gospels. But it is only in John's Gospel that individuals are identified. And for me, it's interesting to notice the differences in the reaction of these individuals to the situation which presented itself. Jesus and his disciples had withdrawn for some peace and quiet, away from the crowds, but the people followed him. Jesus couldn't turn them away, and while ministering to the crowd, decided to turn this into an opportunity to teach his disciples. Firstly, we hear in John, he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" Philip, discounting the supplies that the disciples had brought for their own needs, looked at the crowd and was overwhelmed. At a quick calculation, he reckoned that even if they were near enough a village to buy food, it would take half a working man's yearly wage to buy enough bread to feed the numbers involved. Even if they had that kind of money, we get the impression that Philip would have been less than willing to spend it on this crowd of people who were interrupting his and the other disciples' precious time alone with the Master. Philip simply saw this as an enormous and impossible task into which solution he had no intention of becoming engaged. Andrew, on the other hand, seems to have started doing what he could. Just imagine him going through the crowd, asking them if they've brought any food, making them aware of the need to share anything that they had. And while he's doing this, Andrew comes across a little boy who says, "I'll share my lunch." 5 small rolls and 2 dried fish. Can you visualize Andrew putting his arm round the boy and saying, "Come on then, we'll take these to Jesus"? Apparently his walk through the crowd hadn't been a huge success. And Andrew was just as aware of the enormity of the predicament as was Philip. But he had done what he could. And what about the boy? Maybe he was wondering what his mum would say when she discovered that he had given away his lunch. But apparently something inside him had responded when he heard Jesus speak to the disciples about feeding the crowd. And surely he was as amazed as anyone else that day at how far his contribution went. Some say it was a miracle. Some say that when the crowd saw Jesus recognize the value of a few barley loaves and 2 dried fish and start sharing them around. Some say then those who had bought provisions for their journey felt compelled to produce them and share what they had. If it happens that way, it reminds us that we too often miss the wonder of God's abundant love while we wait for a miracle. So we have Philip, Andrew, and a small boy, each reacting to the same set of circumstances in quite different ways. Ways which are still evident in the response of women, men, and children today in the Church of Jesus Christ. Take the question as to whether new life can be breathed into what often appear to be the dry bones of the institution of the church in the 21st century. If you're a Philip, then the task seems overwhelming. If you're an Andrew, then you at least make some attempt to encourage people to recognize their importance in the scheme of things. And of course, if you're a small boy, you're ready and willing to share what you have for the good of all. The Philips are still today muttering at how impossible a task it is to carry on with any degree of efficiency or effectiveness in the institution that we call the church. Evidence, we live in a society gripped by skepticism and individuality. We live in a society which sees faith as outmoded, or worse, dangerous. We live in a society which finds its meaning in material well-being and in human relationships, and which frankly sees no need for God. The task is huge. Almost impossible. Tempted as I sometimes may be to agree, I'm rather more in the Andrew mould, believing that there are resources out there. And that if we can draw on these resources, if we can dissect the work that needs to be done into bite-sized chunks, then there must be small boys out there who are willing to give a lead. Friends, please don't let's waste time, or for that matter, tempt God by waiting for a miracle. Or we might find that we've missed the bus. Just like the young girl in Glasgow, given instructions to board a bus for Mulgai. She knew where the bus stop was, stood in the appointed queue, and as each bus stopped to collect passengers, allowed it to leave without her aboard. For to her knowledge, none was going to Mulgai. Time passed until finally another person who'd been waiting at the stop inquired, "What bus is it you want?" And yes, there was both merriment and embarrassment when it was pointed out that several buses had already gone to Milngavie. Friends, it is that easy to miss the abundant provision which God has already made while we wait for a miracle. The secret is, as Philip discovered that day, not to be overwhelmed by the problem, but simply to do what we are capable of doing and leave the rest to God.